Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment you have brought me to, such a freedom I have found in you. You are a healer who makes all things new. That's who our God is, a healer that makes all things new. All I can say is thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness, for your kindness, for your love. We are loved by God, and he loves us so much that all we can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for a day of your grace and your mercy. I am thankful, I am grateful, and I am blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word this morning. It's a great word, and we're going to get started on New Testament Sunday with a psalm and a proverb. Because we do have our psalm, we have our proverb this morning, and I'm just happy. You know, I would like to accomplish more, but I'm happy to know that the Lord woke me up this morning and that he started me on my way, because he is holy, he is righteous, he is good, he is our God, and he loves us more than words can say. So thank God this morning that he woke you up. Thank God this morning for a new day. Thank God this morning that he put breath in your body. Thank God this morning that he loved you. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts of adoration, thanking you for another day, thanking you for your grace and your mercy, which covers us, God. From the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet, we can do nothing more than say, thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, God. As we go through this Thanksgiving weekend, God, I just want to say you are great, and I praise you with all my heart. Father God, thank you for your love, your grace, your faithfulness, for just being who you are, our awesome and mighty Father, who loves us without condition, who brings us through our darkness into your marvelous light. Father God, I pray for those that are without family and shelter and clothing, Lord God. We ask you to watch over them, to bless them, and to guide them, Lord God. And if there's anything we can do to help them, God, show us the way. In the precious and holy name of our loving Savior, Christ Jesus, I lift up this word this morning, Lord God, asking you to bless it and to guide it and to lead it, that we will understand it and give you honor and glory and praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. All I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good morning. Good morning, family. You all had a blessed and wonderful day, that you slept well, no thieves broke in, no fires broke out, that all is well in your life, in your walk, and in your rest. And as we get ready to start this morning, We are going to be in the 132nd Psalm, starting at verse number 10 through the 134th Psalm, verses 1 through 3. Our proverb will be Proverbs chapter 29, starting at verse 5 and ending at verse 7. We will be in James chapter 5. And as I say, drum roll, please, we'll be in 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2. And today is a part 2 of our Friday lesson. And it's let your yes be yes. And your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. And it's a part 2. You know, we talked on Friday that we got to be honest with whatever we do. We got to tell God, thank you. If we can't do something, we got to say, I can't do it. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Whatever you do, do it decent and in order and treat people the way you want to be treated. You know, don't play with folks' emotions. Don't play with people's lives. Love on them. Care about them. Know that you are children of God and that we must be honest. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. We don't want to fall into judgment because we're lying and cheating and not being right and righteous. The Lord wants us to be right and righteous in our dealings with each other and our dealing with him. If you can't do it, don't say, Lord, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, when you know good and well you're not going to get it done. So the best thing to do is to keep your tongue behind your teeth. Don't tell God, I will, when you don't know if you will or if you won't. Don't tell God, yes, when in fact you're really saying no. Don't try to pretend that you are all there when in fact you are not. God sees past our surface. He knows our deepest, darkest secrets. As we say on this show, he knows us in our good, and he definitely knows us in our bad. He knows everything about us. And guess what? He loves us anyway. Knows everything about us and loves us anyway. What an awesome and mighty Father he is. Loves us anyway. As the song says, he loved me through my good. He loved me through my bad. That's the kind of Father God we have. And all we can say is, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for loving me in spite of me. Wow, what a great God. So go with me to our psalm this morning. And we are in the 132nd Psalm. So get your Bibles, because this is, guess what? It's Bible study. And it says, for your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. The Lord is sworn in truth to David. He will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. If your sons will keep my covenant and my testimony, which I shall teach them, their sons also shall sit upon your throne forevermore. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. God's yes is always yes. What the Lord says he will do, he always does. A Song of Ascent of David, 133rd Psalm, verses 1 through 3. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. This is my pastor's favorite, one of her favorite scriptures. You know, at least once a month, she's going to quote this scripture because it deals with unity of the body of Christ. The Lord wants us to be unified in our walk, unified in our talk, unified in how we treat each other, how good and how excellent it is for brethren. For we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And the Lord wants us to get along. He wants us to love each other, to care about each other, to be there for each other. He wants us to know that anointing that can come only from him. He cares about us like that. How mighty is our God. And he gives us a blueprint. He gives us a blueprint for caring. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garment. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. But there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. But there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. God said, I will give you life forevermore. He wants us to dwell in unity. He wants us to dwell in love. He wants us to care about each other. 134 Psalm, verses 1 through 3. Behold, bless the Lord, all your servants of the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord, your hands in the sanctuary, and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. And I want to say it again. Behold, bless the Lord, all you saints. Not some of us, but all of us should bless the Lord. We are servants of God. We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are servants who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands. Are you lifting your hands in the sanctuary? You are the body of Christ. And bless the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. God loves us so much. He wants to bless us forevermore, to give us life. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us that overflowing joy that only can come from God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We need to have that in our spirit. We want to bless God as God blesses us with life forevermore. He blesses us with life forevermore. Are you thanking God this morning? Are you telling him, Lord, I love you. Place no one above you. I love you more than anything. I love you, Lord. We got to have that in our spirit, that I love you, Lord, more than anything. God is so good, and he loves, oh, calls you, Lord. And as we go into Proverbs this morning, we are in Proverbs chapter 29. And I tell you, what a mighty, absolute, awesome word God has given us. A man who flatters, starting at verse 5, a man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Spreads a net for his feet. And it says, by transgression, an evil man is snared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. Eventually, don't think that somebody who's doing wrong is going to get away with it forever. Because, again, we will all be held accountable for our wickedness, for whatever it is we do. We will be held accountable because God does not play. He will make you accountable for the things that you do are not of God. And it says, the righteous considers the cost of the poor, but the wicked does not understand such knowledge. You have people looking at you crazy because you give to the poor. You give to the homeless. You donate to shelters. You do things for others, but you don't do it in light. You do it in dark. You do it in secret. Because God is the one that brings whatever it is you do to light. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. If you cannot do it, don't say I can. Because then you make yourself and God liars. Just say I can't do it. You know, I have learned, and it's sad to say in older age, to say no. Because you cannot be everything to everybody. You got to say no sometimes. No, I cannot do that. I'm sorry. No, I won't be able to do that. No, not today. I appreciate you. I love you, but I can't do that. We got to learn how to say no. No, I can't. Let your no be no, and your yes, let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Because we don't want to fall into judgment. And as we go back into the book of James this morning, in James chapter 5, it says, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mold your fields, which you kept back by fraud. Everything folks do will come out into the light. If you are an employer and you don't pay your workers, it will come out. If you say, I'm going to pay you $15 an hour, but when the paycheck comes, it's at $7.50. Well, I said I would give you minimum wage. Well, wait a minute, minimum wage in this state is $15. Well, I gave you federal minimum wage. You know, that kind of foolishness and thievery. You know, we talk about folks get all bent out of shape about folks from other countries coming in illegal. And they want to have a hissy fit about it. And you want to look at them and say, they would not come in unless somebody was hiring them. And I was listening to the news, I believe it was Friday, where Farmer called in and he was talking in this particular talk show I was listening to. Farmer called in from Florida who said that two major orange groves had gone out of business because they didn't have anybody to pick the oranges because the governor had basically made war against immigrants, whether they were immigrant legally or immigrant illegally. He made war on them, you know, and so they refused to go to to the state of Florida to do any visa migrant workers. They come in once a year, work the farm, and go home. They come in, make their money, and go back to wherever they're from, whether it's Cuba or the Caribbean or back to Mexico, wherever they may be from. If they're from Europe, whatever, they go back to their homeland. But he went all out on these people, sending them to other states, making folks who were not illegal, illegal, and all of this stuff. And so the folks that normally would pick the fruit said, we're good. We're going to another state. And they didn't pick fruit this year and last year. And so businesses started going out. So it was God saying, everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a purpose. And if you think that they don't, I will show you that they do. Because the word of God tells us to be kind to strangers. He tells us to treat others the way we want to be treated. But yet, we are so caught up in ourselves that we forget to thank God daily. And it tells us here in the word of God, as we go back, he says, you have heaped up treasures in the last days, indeed the wages of the laborers who mold your fields, which you kept back by fraud. Cry out, cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brother, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. And I got to read that again. But above all, my brethren, do not swear. Remember how Jared swore to God that if you give me this battle, what I see first, I will sacrifice to you. And what did he have to do? Sacrifice his one and only child, his daughter, because she was the first thing that came from his heart. When he didn't have to swear, he didn't have to make a vow, but he did and sacrificed his child because that's what he said he would do. The first thing, be careful what you speak. Don't say things like, I swear on my children's life, or I swear on my mother, or I swear on my father. Don't do it. Don't do it. You could be cursing your mother, your father, your children, yourself. Be careful what you speak, because your words have consequences. You can speak death on people. You can speak death on people. You've got to be very, very careful what we do and what we say and how we say it. But above all, my brothers, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I say it again. The fervent and righteous prayer. The prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnest that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That's a highlightable. Let's read it again, verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. God is speaking to us today. The question is, are we listening? Are we taking it in? Are we understanding the goodness of God? And as we go to our life principle from James chapter 5, you know, we learn more in our valley experiences, our mountaintops. And I can say that is so very true. We learn to pray in our valley. We learn to give God honor and glory in our valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, but thou art with me. God is with us through the storms. God is with us through our trials. God is with us when we walk through the valley. But he's also with us when we're on that mountaintop, where we can see clearly. But when we're in the valley, in the midst of the trees, in the darkness, because the sun can't get through, that's when you need the marvelous light of God. Adversity, anguish, trials, tribulations, and heartaches operate as lessons if they bring us to a place of new insight and understanding. They can alter our perception of the world and of God and lead us to change our behavior. The Lord, of course, is the ultimate teacher. He is the one with whom we must look for the meaning of any lesson related to adversity. God allows adversity for at least 3 reasons. You might want to write these down. God uses adversity to get our attention. Put a little check mark there. Adversity leads to examination. Check mark there. The effective lesson leads to change in behavior. Check mark there. God is wanting us to change our behavior. He's wanting to get our attention. He wants us to examine ourselves. Every month before we take communion, our pastor speaks that we should examine ourselves. ask for forgiveness. Speak truth to the lies of this world. Don't be afraid. We walk in fear when we need to walk in faith. God is faithful in all things, and he wants us to be faithful too. Whew, thank you, Jesus. And it says this. Number one, great God uses adversity to get our attention. The Lord uses a wide variety of methods to gain our attention when necessary. Adversity is one of them. One of the best responses I know to adversity that strikes us suddenly and yet obviously with a God-intended message is to turn to the 25th Psalm and make it our personal prayer. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. Oh, Lord, 25th Psalm, verses 1 through 7. Don't delay in responding to the Lord when he moves to get your attention. Respond quickly and humbly. Hear what he has to say to you. Adversity leads to examination. At times, God sees fit to allow adversity into our lives to motivate us to self-examination. The winds of adversity blow away the surface issues and force us to cope with things on a deeper level. Adversity removes the cloak of what we are supposed to be to reveal the truth of who we are. The real us shows through. We are to regularly examine both our faith and ourselves. Paul encouraged the Corinthians, let a man examine himself, 1 Corinthians 11 and 28. In other words, take an inquisitive look inside and discover what is driving you, motivating you, and enticing you. God does not want negative elements from the past to lie around your life and cause us trouble. Each of us is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he wants us to be clean and usable vessels. We have no reason to allow the rubbish of the past to remain in our lives for years. Old memories, haunting temptations, the baggage of unresolved hurt and unreconciled relationships. The Lord desires that we free ourselves of anything that might keep us in inner bondage, whether mentally, emotionally, psychologically, or spiritually. When we become complacent in accepting the hurts of the past are part of who we are, the Lord may bring a little adversity to lead us to pursue instead who we might be in Christ Jesus. The effective lesson leads to change in behavior. Teachers often prepare behavioral objectives for their classroom lectures. These objectives list in concrete and measurable form the behaviors that the teacher desires for a student to display as proof that that student has learned the lesson. The lessons that the Lord teaches us through adversity are ultimately for that very purpose. A change in behavior, including a change in the belief that prompted the behavior. It isn't enough that the Lord gets our attention or that we engage in self-examination. we can see problems, see a problem, and know ourselves thoroughly. But unless we change our response to God in some way, we will never benefit fully from adversity or grow as a result of it. Self-examination may feel painful, but remember, whatever you find within yourself, Jesus himself came to help. You carry that burden to the cross and deal with it there. Once and for all, he has your best interest in mind. He knows that pain sometimes paves the path to complete healing and restoration. If you are willing to allow God to surface the inner rubble of your life, and if you are willing to change what needs to be changed, you will emerge from adversity closer to Christ, more mature as his child, and with far greater potential to reflect the love of God to the world around you. James 5 and 7, be patient, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. We do not know when the Lord will return to reward his faithful people, to set right the world, but we know that we will. His promise gives us hope, but we must remain patient until he fulfills it. James 5 and 11, you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Job had to go through some very dark, excruciating days, but never once during his trials did the Lord ever leave him. It helps to remember God's unchanging compassion and mercy when we suffer. You know, they used to say, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Back in my day when I was a little kid, I remember the choir singing it. That was kind of like a jam. Holding on to God's unchanging hand. They get a little rocked in the senior choir, you know, when they would sing that song. And then we got to be knowing that God is there all the time. James 5 and 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We cannot obey a multitude of God's commands without being in regular, close fellowship with other believers. He has designed this world so that many of our needs are met only through mutual independence. We got to pray. We got to lift up. It's so easy to tear somebody down. And I'm speaking this the truth. It's easy. You can talk about it, folks. Say you're blue in the face. Talk about them. Talk about everything, everybody. But never do self-examination. I'm going to talk about them, but I ain't going to let nobody talk about me. I keep it real. We heard that out of them. We got to keep it real with ourselves. Ooh, that coffee is good. Let's go to 1 Peter, y'all. Join me in 1 Peter. Just an overview. The Apostle Peter with the assistance of Ananias, Silas, wrote this book approximately 65 years after the death of Jesus. So Peter was an old man when he wrote this. Suffering for the sake of Jesus is noble and good. As the early church grows, the Roman Empire begins persecuting Christians. And Peter assures them that God is still in control. Beloved, think of it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you and do some strange thing happen unto you. 4:2. What is the proper response to such suffering? Rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Quotable, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and 8. Unique and unusual about 1 Peter, Peter clarifies exactly how many people rolled out of the great flood of Noah's Ark. 8. Genesis indicates that Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives were in the boat, but leaves unclear whether there's any sons might have had multiple wives. So what? Life may be hard, but God is always good. And for Christians, there's a much better day ahead. There's a much better day ahead. Please join me in 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance of incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, it need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genesis of your faith, the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that will come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work conduct, just conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Peter didn't play either. Peter went through some stuff. Peter was that disciple, died upside down on the cross. His cross was upside down because he didn't feel that he could die like Jesus. Woof. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to our living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because we do not have a dead Savior, we have a living hope. The resurrection of Jesus guarantees that God will honor all his promises to his faithful children. That hope keeps us going in the darkest of times. And I say thank you, Dr. Stanley. That hope keeps us going. We got to keep trusting God, for whom all blessings flow. How do I handle a difficult trial? Not of my own doing. God knows when we face a horrendous situation. He hears our cries, even those who maintain the closest fellowship with him are not immune to feelings of hopelessness. Many times God allows us to face hopeless circumstances to test and try our faith. It is the hopelessness that forces us to seek God, and it's there that we find strength and refreshment. Does God care that your trials make you weary? Yes. And he knows every emotion, need, and desire you have. He also knows exactly what it will take to bring you into a more intimate relationship with him. The Apostle Peter addressed his two letters to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. If he were choosing a modern title for his studies, he might consider encouragement for times of hopelessness, a hope for the hurting, because encouragement and hope is exactly what Peter conveyed to these hurting believers. These believers face all kind of persecution. We can go to church if we want to. We can do whatever we want to do. They couldn't. They were running for their lives. They were beaten, slandered, assaulted, and in some cases will lose their lives for their faith in Jesus Christ. Called them aliens because they held a citizenship, not of this world, but of the kingdom of God. Still, they faced times of discouragement and needed hope. Peter explained that they could rejoice even in times of trials because of Jesus Christ, the living hope within them, their risen Savior and Lord. Jesus protected them by the power of God. So long as we have Jesus, no situation is hopeless. Are you letting your yes be yes and your no, no? Are you saying, I love Jesus and mean it? Would you like to enjoy an eternal hope? Then focus your heart on Jesus. Remember, he is working to bring his will and good pleasure to the forefront of your life, even if you find yourself in a seemingly hopeless situation. Know that God has an entirely different view of the details. If you will let him, he will take your life, no matter how bruised and broken, and make something beautiful out of it. Isn't this what hope is all about? Doesn't God give us beauty for ashes, gladness instead of sorrow, and a coat of praise instead of fainting? This is the ongoing ministry of Jesus Christ in your life. Therefore, bring to him your afflictions and disappointments. Tell him your sorrows, and he will restore your hope. You got to call him up and tell him what you want. 1 Peter 1 and 8. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy expressibly and full of glory. A Christian life devoid of joy is not only unbiblical, it's not much worth having. How could we not have joy in our hearts when we know that God loves us? is it with and is with us, promises to help us and wants to bless us forever. 1 Peter 1:13, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The Christian life is both a joyful experience and a serious business. It takes conscious, deliberate, spirit-filled actions upon the God's grace and Jesus' return in such a way that it positively shapes how we live. 1 Peter 1:15, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Holiness is not a dour, grim-faced determination to do the religious things that drain all enjoyment out of life. God is a delightful, joyful God, and he invites us to join in his joy by imitating his ways. Are you joyful today? Are you giving God the hope that comes from him? 1 Peter 2, and it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Ah, the Lord is good. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will be by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as a sojourner and pilgrim, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may be your good works which they observe. Glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as a supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Say this as we get ready to close out. This verse right here was a verse used by slave masters to keep those enslaved under their thumb. And it says, for this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. But what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you go good and suffer, when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body, who is Jesus, on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. For whose stripes you were healed, but you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. Can we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, as infants have a taste and a craving for their mother's nutritious milk. So we are to develop a taste and a craving for the living, the life-giving word of God. Growing in Christ requires that we spend time in his word. That's what we do for moving forward. We spend time in his word. Verse number 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Peter uses a flurry of wonderful descriptions to portray the exalted positions we enjoy as believers in Christ. God calls us chosen and royal and holy and special so that we might begin to act like who we really are. As Black Panther, the mother said, tell them who we are. Show them who we are. We got to show them that we are chosen. We are royal. We are holy. We are special. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Verse 11. We get ourselves into trouble when we forget that this world is not our home. If we would remember we are only aliens and strangers here, we would not feel tempted to put down roots that can never take root. Woo! Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Verse 21. Jesus is our example in all things, even in suffering. He did not willingly suffer merely for suffering's sake, but he eagerly accepted it when he saw it as God's will for him. And our last thing from this word today, a life example. Peter willing to change. What's in a name? The Apostle Peter provides us with one of the best answers to Shakespeare's famous question. The name Peter comes from the Greek petros, meaning rock or stone. Peter's original name was Simon Barjona, or son of Jonah. Today we might call him Simon Johnson or Simon Stone. But whatever we call him, he was impetuous, impulsive, brash, outspoken, loud, self-confident, arrogant. Why would Jesus pick such a man? For the same reason he picks us. He wants to take those same unloving qualities and transform them for his use. We can all learn from Peter. Perhaps his most compelling characteristic wasn't impulsiveness or outspokenness, but his willingness to change and in Jesus' hands become a person mightily used of God. What's in a name? Today, it isn't so important what we are called, just that we care and obey when God calls us. Praise the Lord today. Praise the Lord today. Tell God thank you and let him know how much you love him. And a couple of words from our sister in Christ. Be grateful for today and never take anything for granted. Life is a blessing. And her scripture for this morning is this. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. Isaiah 26:3. Have a blessed Sunday from Sister Carolyn. From Moving Forward Family, I pray you all had a blessed and wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. And all I say today is find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. and keep trusting that God is in control of everything and that you are loved by him more than you could ever imagine. More than anything, you are loved by God. And remember, let your yes be yes and your no, no. We want to not be in judgment from God. We want to know that we are doing what's right in the sight of God. Thank you so much for listening in, family. Come join Mother Valerie and myself on tomorrow as we move forward in the Word of God. We are going to continue studying to show ourselves approved. And we will meditate and taste and eat this Word, for it is good. Thank you so much. Be blessed. I pray for you as you pray for me. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High, and he loves you more than anything. Have a blessed day. It is, as we say, I'm moving forward. It's a wrap. Why? Because we're always praying for you. Have a great day, family.